Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, March 10th, 2008, and you have the good fortune to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. We return to our usual question and answer format this week, but I hope you guys had an opportunity to listen to the swell interview I did in two parts with those tantric masters, Kypris and Stephen J. They are podcast 52 and 53, so be sure to check them out. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. I realize that a lot of people in my audience have sexual performance questions. Hey doc, how do I overcome premature ejaculation? How do I give a really great blowjob? How can I become multi-orgasmic? And things like that. Well, now you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. All you have to do is mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let the experts show you a thing or two. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, enriching, and informative videos right there from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? I have a wonderful show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. As you all know by now, this is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show.
Hello, Dr. Dick. This is Miss Smack, sending some Australian love to you all the way over in the States. I hope that you are very well, and I will see you in cyberspace. Much love. Bye.
Aw, shucks, Miss Smack. And right back at ya. You're sounding so sexy and sweet. Thanks for dropping by. You know I'm a big fan of yours. Hey, you guys, check out Miss Smack's sultry site at honeysmack.blogspot.com and be sure to tell her Dr. Dick sent you. Next, we hear from Matilda. She's a female, obviously, age 20, from Puerto Rico. And she writes, I'm trying to understand something. All the guys I know are so obsessed with their penis. It's like the whole world revolves around what they have in their pants. This is so different from how women relate to their genitals. I just can't understand how men and women can be so different. What gives? I suppose the short answer is that men have external genitals and women have internal genitals. We also have way more cultural permissions to explore our bodies than women do. And that pretty much sets the stage for everything else. Of course, this is a double-edged sword, so to speak. At every stage of our life, there's a potential downside to our pal's perpetual presence. Familiarity can, and often does, breed contempt. The delicate dance we do with our dick can suddenly go out of balance. Admiration can turn to contempt, and pride of ownership can morph into pangs of inadequacy. This predictable human tendency gives rise to as much willy worry as willy pride. That's why most men are obsessed with their Johnson. But how do we get this way, you might wonder? Well, your question got me to thinking about how us menfolk form this particular relationship with our unit. So I started to jot down some thoughts on us men and our meat. Nothing quite captures a man's imagination like his cock. Its size, shape, and general appearance is a source of endless wonderment to each of us. Maybe it's because our buddy is always just right there, hanging around waiting for a little attention. And let's face it, we are always checking it out, right? We're forever giving it a little tug, playing a little pocket pool, adjusting it for a little bit more comfort. It keeps us company when we're alone, and we never leave the house without it. It's perfectly natural for us to grab hold of our unit several times a day simply to relieve ourselves, and who among us, while it's right there in our hand, doesn't stop for a moment and admire its many attributes? Our fascination begins at birth. Hey, did you know that we are born sexually aroused? Women are too, but that's another story. That's right, our infant Stiffy is loaded for pleasure from day one. Babyhood is spent figuring out the complexities of our body and gaining control over all our moving parts. We kick our legs, flail our arms, and outstretch our hands and fingers to test the capacities and develop muscle coordination. Then, one fateful day, our spasmodic movements suddenly bring our fingers in contact with our baby penis. In an instant, we make a mental note of this startling connection, how this particular touch equals delicious pleasure, and a lifelong friendship begins. Some social scientists suggest that our desire to purposely reconnect with our penis to repeat the pleasurable sensations that occurred when first we accidentally brushed up against our cock is one of the most powerful motivators for further self-discovery and the development of motor skills. If touching this part of me gives me so much pleasure, I wonder what else on my body will do the same. How innocent we once were. Babyhood gives way to boyhood, and our favorite toy leads the way. We spend hours mindlessly fondling ourselves. Simply placing our hand on our dick can calm us when we are anxious, as well as give us a sense of overall well-being. Mastering our pee sessions, which takes quite a bit of clever hand-eye-penis coordination, is a cause for great joy among the grown-ups. But negative messages are also beginning to seep in, and some are none too subtle. Leave it alone. That's dirty. Put on some clothes. Someone is always trying to get between our buddy and us. In time, we notice that we're not alone. Other boys and men have a joystick too. Along with our natural curiosity comes the inevitable comparisons. Hey, his looks different. Wow, that's big. But almost immediately we learn that checking out another dude's package is not just bad, it's really bad. Of course, this doesn't make us stop. We just learn how to do it on the sly. The prohibition against looking, coupled with our natural curiosity, makes for a potent but dangerous mix. Puberty arrives with all kinds of surprises, not least of which is the discovery that Mr. Wonderful suddenly has a mind of his own. His unruly behavior is often an embarrassment, stirring to life and tenting in our pants at the most awkward of moments. At the same time, we also discover new and exquisite pleasures. Our gun is now loaded. The incessant buildup of sexual tension throws us into a frenzy of masturbation. We begin to beat our meat like it owes us money. We spurt and spew with wild abandon. Well, until we're busted by the grown-ups, that is. In short order, waves of repression from everywhere begin to layer on guilt and shame. What was once a natural part of life has now become this great big conflict. Our hormones rage, and the dictates of biology press upon us with a counterforce to the repression. Navigating this minefield is a huge challenge, especially when we haven't a clue what's happening to us or how to control it. Sex information is sparse, when there's any at all, and most of what we hear is woefully unreliable. The information we get comes mostly from older boys who are more knowledgeable about things than us. They hint at pleasures and intimacies we have yet to discover. They boast of their conquests, of busting a nut, of big schlongs and wet pussies. The message comes clear. The bigger your buddy, the happier and more successful you'll be at bagging the chicks. Adulthood is a mixed bag for our dick and us. Being a grown-up has its privileges, of course. There are fewer people around to dictate our behavior, but there are also loads of worry and stress, and we soon discover that our cock is the first to suffer. Pressures to mate, to make money, to compete with rival males for status, power, and position begin to take their toll. The privileges of being an adult, fast living, late hours, poor diet, alcohol and drug consumption, soon lead to burnout, sleep deprivation, weight gain, medical problems, and a host of prescription medications. Our old buddy is in rebellion. Maybe he's retaliating for the pressures we've placed on him, or the fact that we pay him less and less attention till we call him up for active duty. And then we expect him to perform like he did when we were just lads. Fickle and stubborn as always, Mr. Wonderful refuses to comply. Our golden years are marked by more time for ourselves, but there's also less autonomy. Our body doesn't respond as it once did, or even like it did a few years earlier. While the pressures of life diminish and a kind of peace settles in, medical problems proliferate. Happily, our hormones no longer rule us, but despite the quieting of our passions, there is always desire. All our life, we've equated performance and stamina with virility and potency, but now our once vibrant buddy seems downcast, listless, and decidedly unresponsive. And that's why us men have such an obsession with our cock, Matilda. It's virtually impossible not to. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Jeremy. We don't know anything more about him other than his name. He writes, I apologize if you've already answered this question somewhere else. I've been with my boyfriend for almost a year now, and everything's going great. Except one thing. We do nothing together in bed. Or out of it. Our relationship started with him showing some interest in sex, but he had performance issues. Try as I could to make him feel better about it, it only got worse. It's gotten to the point that offers I get from other people are becoming extremely tempting. He explains it away, saying that he has very little sex drive. However, he has trouble even letting me touch him sometimes. My opinion is that he's afraid of sex, but I don't know where to begin to put him at ease. Is this something you can normally work out in a relationship, or is this a bigger issue than I can expect to resolve on my own? I really appreciate any advice that you could give me. Well, Jeremy, I have discussed this very issue extensively in the past, but since you're being so nice about it, I'll do a little recap just for you and everyone else who's facing a similar dilemma. If I had to guess, I'd say your boyfriend is suffering from a real bad case of performance anxiety. Here's how this nasty thing works. Say a fella has a less than satisfying sexual experience for one reason or another. Before he knows it, he's replaying the incident over and over in his head until that's all he can think about. The proverbial molehill becomes the mountain. He brings his anxiety to his next sexual encounter. His hyperconsciousness primes him for more disappointment, and he's ready to interpret all disappointments as failure. Well, you can see where I'm going with this, huh? His fears become self-fulfilling. Before he knows it, he's begun to avoid sex. His relationships begin to suffer. he develops a full-blown sexual dysfunction and his self-esteem takes a nosedive. His preoccupation with his problem make it less likely that he'll be fully present during sex with his partner, which pretty much fucks up his sexual responsiveness and any hope for spontaneity. This is nothing to fool around with. I don't think that it's something that you can handle on your own, and possibly the best option is for him to seek out a sex-positive therapist. When I see this sort of thing in my private practice, I always begin the therapeutic intervention by calling a moratorium on fucking of any kind. This immediately takes a great deal of the pressure off the couple. From there, we begin to rebuild the partner's psychosexual response one step at a time. We begin with sensate focus training, stress reduction, and relaxation exercises. I have the greatest confidence in this method, and it succeeds about 90% of the time. Good luck. Next, we hear from Malik. He is 26. He lives in Pakistan. And he writes, is it safe to have sex during when the girl is in menses, even if I am using a condom? There's nothing unsafe about sex during menstruation. Things can get a bit messy, but if that doesn't bother you, there's nothing wrong with it. Worries of this sort generally stem from misconceptions many cultures perpetuate about menstrual blood. Most girls are taught from a very young age that their menses is unclean or dirty, and therefore they should be embarrassed by this natural phenomenon. Boys, on the other hand, are taught to fear and revile menses. But the truth is that menstrual blood is an entirely natural body fluid and does not in any way affect a guy's cock or a woman's reproductive tract. However, when a woman is bleeding, the chances of spreading an STI, a sexually transmitted infection, especially HIV, increase immensely. So always wear a condom. Of course, if you mean safe as if you won't impregnate her while she's menstruating, then that's a horse of a different color. This is a fallacy. There is always a chance your partner will conceive, even at this point in her cycle. Again, the best policy is always to wear a condom. As long as you are engaging in safe and protected sex, it's perfectly fine for you and your partner to fuck during her period. Karen is next. She's 51. She writes from Milford, Connecticut. Are there any negative long-term effects to double penetration? First, I need to know what you mean by double penetration. Are you talking about two dicks in your pussy, or one in your butt and one in your snatch? Either way, I suppose the only thing you need to concern yourself about is stretching out your holes. But even that doesn't need to be a worry if you are caring for your pelvic musculature by keeping your PC muscle taut and toned through Kegel exercises. Tell me that you know all about Kegels, right, Karen? If you don't, you have a load of remedial study to do before you cram your holes. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Giovanni. He's 18, and I don't know where he lives. He writes, I'm a virgin and soon to be bottom. I am concerned, though, because I have heard that anal incontinence is a possible consequence of constant anal sex. Is this true? Not to worry, pup. Folks, both women and men have been giving up their rosebud for some fine anal pleasure for as long as there have been assholes. And that's a mighty long time, don't you know? Listen, if you respect your bottom and treat it with care, you can enjoy a lifetime of ass-fucking without worry of injury or wearing the thing out. Here's how you go about doing this. take the time you need to acquaint yourself with your nether regions. Do this on your own, with a finger or two, or a dildo. Find out how it feels to have something in your ass. In this solitary play, you will be in charge of how deep things go and what kind of thrusting works best for you. Be sure to note the sensations in your butthole, at the external and internal sphincters, your anal canal, in your rectum, and on your prostate. The more information that you have about your insides and how things feel down there, what kind of sensations you're having and where, you'll have a whole lot more information to pass on to your partners when the time comes. And like I said to my previous correspondent, Karen, always make sure your pelvic musculature is in tip-top shape. Keep your PC muscles taut and toned through Kegel exercises. Finally, let me direct you to my sexual enrichment tutorial, Liberating the B.O.B. Within. That's B.O.B. That stands for Big Ol' Bottom, don't you know? This will get you started on the road to a happier and painless butt-fucking. You'll find this brilliant presentation by going to the category section on the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for all the entries that are tagged Being a Good Bottom. It's right there in the anal sex section. Good luck! Finally, we hear from Jenna. She's 27 and writes from Arlington, Virginia. Dear Dr. Dick, my husband of 4 years has an exceptionally large penis. He likes nothing better than for me to rub him to climax. We have intercourse and we do oral on each other, and he likes that just fine. He just prefers to watch me use my hands on him. Do you think this is odd? There's nothing wrong with your hubby, Jenna. He just loves getting himself a good old-fashioned hand job. Here's the deal with a lot of us folks who own a dick. We first become acquainted with the pleasures our cock can offer through handling ourselves. And when it comes right down to it, there is rarely a mouth, pussy, or an ass that can compete with the variety of stroke and firmness of grip that a hand can provide. Simply stated, the humble hand job is the ideal way to pleasure your man. Just remember that even though jerking your guy off isn't particularly exotic as far as sex acts go, it never has to be boring for you or him. I'm of the mind that a brilliant wank session begins with a first-class lube. Many guys swear by silicone-based lubes for this purpose, but a handjob connoisseur like your hubby will probably have his very own favorite. Start off with just enough lube to make things slick. You don't want to overdo it. Get a feel for his Johnson and what you have to work with. Skillfully draw back the skin of his rod toward the root of his dick until it's taut. This is much easier to do with uncut men, but even cut guys will have some skin left to move. While you're doing this, feel free to ooh and ah a lot. Your man will get off on you admiring his unit. This is the perfect time to marvel at the work of art before you. For as we all know, a hard man is good to find. You say, Jenna, that your man is hung big. Lucky you! Can you wrap your fingers around the base of his unit and get a good grip there? If not, you'll want to consider a cock ring for this purpose. If you don't know what a cock ring is or how to put one on, you can find all this information on DrDickSexAdvice.com. In fact, if you do use a cock ring, you'll free up both your hands for what is to come. Now that you've got yourself a really nice boner going, get between his legs. Take his cock between your palms and interlock your fingers, and guide your hands up and down his shaft. Your thumbs should be on the underside of his dick so that each stroke up and down, you'll hit his frenulum with the pads of your thumb. Now with his cock still between your palms, rub your hands together like if you were warming them. This will provide a great new sensation for your guy. Hold his cock in one hand, and with a well-lubed palm of your other hand, slowly move it in lazy little circles all over his dickhead. This is a particularly delicate procedure, especially if your man is uncut. His dickhead will be super sensitive now that he's fully aroused, and don't forget, if you're using a cock ring, his pecker will be even more engorged than usual, making it hypersensitive. Be sure to ask for some feedback on this move. If he finds it too uncomfortable, move on to something more pleasurable. Here's a tip. Us men, being who we are, will no doubt already be giving you directions on what to do and how to do it down there. So all you may have to do is to follow his lead. And remember, he knows his way around his joint better than anyone. Don't forget to service his nuts. Since a guy's jewels are less sensitive to touch than his dickhead, you can manhandle them a whole lot more. Squeeze 'em and tug 'em and gently slap those babies to your heart's delight. While you're doing that, and with his dick flat against his belly, shimmy the heel of your hand up and down the underside of his cock. You see how you're incorporating different sensations and movements all at the same time? Good. Keep this up and your man will be putty in your hands. No pun intended. Interlace your fingers once more and make a tight passageway through the palms of your hands. Pump up and down his shaft this way. As you get to the top of his cock, close the passageway even tighter, then make him squeeze his way in as you slide back down to the bottom. Then with one hand rapidly following the other in only a downward stroke, make this a perpetual penetration tunnel. This will make his eyes roll back in his head in ecstasy. This might be a good time to incorporate other parts of your body besides your hands. Most men get off on a titty fuck. Cozy his cock between your boobs and have him hump away. You can also use your feet in the same fashion. Lots of guys can really get off on fucking a chick's feet. Now, back to the hand job. Rhythmically stroke only his rod. Watch as his dickhead swells and turns red or even purple. Once it's bright red, use your fingertips on the tip of his dick like if you're turning a doorknob, first to the right and then to the left. Lightly at first, but slowly increase the pressure until he begs you to stop. Now you've got him right where you want him. Here's where things get really interesting. When he's least expecting it, move one of your hands down past his nuts and taint. You know what his taint is, don't you? That's that patch of skin between his balls and his asshole. It got its name from it taint ass and it taint balls. You get it? Now, once you're past his taint, you'll find his rosebud. With a well-lubed finger, massage his pucker. If this is virgin territory for you and the hubby, he's in for the thrill of his life. Continue to stroke both his cock and asshole. Don't be afraid to try to push your finger past his sphincter. If he lets you inside, you will have access to his prostate. But even if he doesn't, massaging the outside of his hole will bring him very close to an explosive conclusion. If you're ready to finish him off, so to speak, pick up the pace of your stroke. He will be breathing heavily now, and he'll look down over his chest at the miracle happening between his legs. Tell him to throw his legs in the air and spread them as far apart as possible. This will add considerably to the muscle tension that you've already built up, and a thunderous orgasm is all about muscle tension. Now, bring this puppy home. Lick his balls, finger his hole, and beat his meat. Insist that he keep his feet in the air and his legs splayed. Momentarily, he will begin to quake with building mini orgasms. He will no doubt try to buck himself to conclusion, but don't let him. For the moment, you're in charge down there, not him. Tease him one last time as he nears ejaculation. When he's almost there, suddenly stop doing everything. This will, of course, drive him crazy. And don't resume your stroking until he begs for it. It will probably only take a few more strokes before he gives up the spunk. Keep your face, or at least your eyes, out of the way, because when he finally blows, it will be explosive. If you've toyed with him for any length of time, you will have built up quite a load, and it will shoot in spurts until he's empty. His cock will be hypersensitive after he comes, so be gentle. Good luck! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I am so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay per minute kind of deal. Remember, the pay for view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. How sweet is that? And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You will find me in the podcast section, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.